ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 1, and today's text should be 10. Parinishtito pi nargunya. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong verse here. Yes. Okay, verse 10. Tad aham te pirasyami maha Purushiko Bhavan Yasya Shadaratam Ashu Sian Mukunde Matihi Sati Tadahang Te Vidasyami Mahapurushiko Bhavan Yasya Shadaratam Ashu, sorry. Yasya Shadharatam Ashu. Sian Mukunde Mati Sati. Tadahang Te Vidasyami. Mahapurushiko Bhavan. Yasya Shadharatam Ashu. Sian Mukunde Mati Sati. Tadahang te vidasyami Mahapurushiko Bhavan Yasya Shadaratam Ashu Sian Mukunde Matik Sati. Please chant. Tadahang te vidasyami. Tadahang te vidasyami Mahapurushiko Bhavan Tadahang te vidasyami Mahapurushiko Bhavan Yasya Shadaratam Ashu Jan Mukunde Matik Sati Tadahang Te Vidasyami Mahapurushiko Bhavan Yasya Shadaratam Ashu Jan Mukunde Matik Sati Vaishnavins Mahapurushiko Bhavan Yasya Shadaratam Ashu Sian Mukunde Matik Sati Tadahang Te Vidasyami Mahapurushiko Bhavan Yasya Shadaratam Ashu Sian Mukunde Matik Sati Tadahang Te Vidasyami Mahapurushiko Bhavan Yasya Shadaratam Ashu Tian Mukunde Mate Sati. So, synonyms tut, that. Aham, I. Te, unto you. Abhidhasyami, shall recite. Mahapaurushikaha, the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. Bhavan, your good self. Yasya, of which. Shradharatam, of one who gives full respect and attention. Ashu, very soon. Syat, it so becomes. Mukunde, unto the Lord, who awards salvation. Matihi, faith. Sati, unflinching. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. That very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you, because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna, one who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. Please repeat. That very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you, because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna, one who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. Srila Prabhupada's purport is kind of lengthy, but as the verse suggests, please try to hear with full attention and respect. Srimad Bhagavatam is recognized Vedic wisdom, and the system of receiving Vedic knowledge is called Avaroha Panta, or the process of receiving transcendental knowledge through bona fide disciplic succession. For advancement of material knowledge, there is a need for personal ability and researching aptitude. But in the case of spiritual knowledge, all progress depends more or less on the mercy of the spiritual master. The spiritual master must be satisfied with the disciple. Only then is knowledge automatically manifest before the student of spiritual science. The process should not, however, be misunderstood to be something like magical feats, whereby the spiritual master acts like a magician and injects spiritual knowledge into his disciple, as if surcharging him with an electrical current. The bona fide spiritual master reasonably explains everything to the disciple on the authorities of Vedic wisdom. The disciple can receive such teachings not exactly intellectually, but by submissive inquiries and a service attitude. The idea is that both the spiritual master and the disciple must be bona fide. In this case, the spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami, is ready to recite exactly what he has learned from his great father, Srila Vyasadeva, and the disciple, Maharaj Parikshit, is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna is he who believes sincerely that by becoming a devotee of the Lord, one becomes fully equipped with everything spiritual. This teaching is imparted by the Lord himself in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, in which it is clearly described that the Lord, Sri Krishna, is everything, and that to surrender unto him solely and wholly makes one the most perfectly pious man. This unflinching faith in Lord Krishna prepares one to become a student of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee like Shukadev Goswami is sure to attain salvation at the end, as Maharaj Parikshit did. The professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the pseudo-devotees whose faith is based on 1 week's hearing are different from Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Srila Vyasadeva explained Srimad Bhagavatam unto Shukadev Goswami from the very beginning of the Janmadyasa verse, and so Shukadev Goswami also explained it to the king. Lord Krishna is described as the Mahapurusha in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, in his devotional feature as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself in his devotional attitude, descended on earth to bestow special favors upon the fallen souls of this age of Kali. There are 2 verses particularly suitable to offer as prayers to this Mahapurusha feature of Lord Krishna. Deyang sada paribhavagnam avishadoham Tirtas Padam Shiva Virinchinu Tang Sharanyam Prityarti Hang Pranatapala Bhavabdi Potam Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam Tyaktva Sudushchija Surepshita Raja Lakshmim Dharmishta Arya Vachasaya Dagadaranyam Maya Mrigam Daita Ipsitam Anbadavad Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. In other words, Purusha means the enjoyer, and the Mahapurusha means the supreme enjoyer, or the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One who deserves to approach the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is called the Mahapurushaka. Anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam attentively from its bona fide reciter is sure to become a sincere devotee of the Lord, who is able to award liberation. There was none so attentive as Maharaj Parikshit in the matter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and there was none so qualified as Shukadeva Goswami to recite the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, anyone who follows in the footsteps of either the ideal reciter or the ideal hearer, Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, respectively, will undoubtedly attain salvation like them. Maharaj Parikshit attained salvation by hearing only, and Shukadeva Goswami attained salvation only by reciting. Recitation and hearing are two processes out of nine devotional activities, and by strenuously following the principles, either in all or by parts, one can attain the absolute plane. So the complete text of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the Janmanyasya verse, up to the last one in the 12th canto, was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami for the attainment of salvation by Maharaj Parikshit. In the Padma Purana, it is mentioned that Gautama Muni advised Maharaj Ambarish to hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam as it was recited by Shukadeva Goswami, and herein it is confirmed that Maharaj Ambarish heard Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning to the end as it was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. One who is actually interested in the Bhagavatam, therefore, must not play with it by reading or hearing a portion from here and a portion from there. One must follow in the footsteps of great kings like Maharaj Ambarish or Maharaj Parikshit and hear it from a bona fide representative of Shukadeva Goswami. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacharine Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshar Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Tapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvatam Shah Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchon Kopaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm not sure what time of year this occurred, this recitation by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit and all the other sages present. Not sure what the weather was like at that point. It's somewhere near Delhi. So you can imagine what kind of Delhi-like weather. But as we know from the picture, Prabhupada would call these paintings pictures. So the picture we have of Shukadeva Goswami, 16-year-old boy, bluish color, almost like Krishna, completely naked, sitting on the Vyasasan. Don't imitate that at home or anywhere else. We shouldn't put ourselves in a situation of imitating the predecessor acharyas, either by being naked ourselves or preaching to naked people. The devotees used to go to some of these hippie festivals, and I saw one photograph. I wasn't there, but I saw the photograph. One brahmachari sitting in a forest surrounded by hippies, quite a few of whom, including ladies, were naked. We don't go there. If you're a brahmachari and you find yourself in that situation, get up and go. Don't sit there looking at naked people saying in the name of preaching. But here in this case, we have a naked speaker. Shukadeva Goswami was sitting naked on the Vyasasan. And all these great sages, they were not disturbed at all. They were sitting there drinking the nectar that he's about to speak now. And he said to Parikshit Maharaj, said, I'm going to recite this Bhagavatam to you for two reasons. Why? One, you're a very sincere devotee of the Lord. Very, very sincere. So Prabhupada used to say, this is the main qualification you need to bring to the table when you come to the devotional line. You have to be sincere. So, one devotee will ask Prabhupada one day, well, what does it mean to be sincere? I don't feel like I'm sincere, Srila Prabhupada. What does it mean to be sincere? What did Prabhupada answer? Anybody remember? That's... Did everybody hear that? Prabhupada said, being sincere means knowing that only Krishna can save you. Just as been pointed out in today's verse. One of the Krishna's names is Mukunda, the giver of liberation. Nobody else can give liberation. Nobody else. Not even our guru can give liberation. Not even Lord Brahma. Only Krishna. When Krishna is satisfied with you, satisfied with the way you're dealing with the cyclic succession, then he gives you liberation. So we don't approach our guru with the idea that the guru is going to give us liberation. Why do we need a guru in the first place? We only really need a guru if we're serious about making a solution to all the problems of life. If you're not serious about that, Prabhupada used to say, oh, repeatedly, don't keep a guru as a fashion. Everybody else has a guru, so I have to get a guru also. And then you pick one out and you're now my guru. But it's not surprising that we approach guru with the wrong mentality. We approach God with the wrong mentality. I believe in God. What does that mean? That God should do what I want him to do. Okay, God, here's my list. I want this, 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 and that, including killing my enemies. Now you do that, then you're a good God. And then I'll call on you again tomorrow when I want something else. That's the wrong mentality to approach God. And so it's not surprising that we approach guru with the wrong mentality because we're approaching the Supreme Being with the wrong mentality. Instead of trying to make God our servant, we're supposed to become servants of God. This is what the guru teaches us. The guru sets up an institution by which you can not only learn that theoretically, but you can apply it practically. Practically, you can come every day and worship the deities. You can go out and distribute transcendental knowledge. You can... So many activities that this tiny society, by comparison to other religions, were small. If you count how many serious devotees of Krishna are here on the planet currently. Very teeny compared to some other religious processes. Prabhupada used to say right here in this room, what is the difference between this house, he called it, and all the other houses on Watsika Avenue? What's the difference? It's made of bricks and stone, just like every other house on the block. What's the difference? The difference is that here, you come and you worship Krishna. In the other houses, who knows what they're doing? Like now they're building this humongous apartment building in the back here behind Prabhupada's garden. I don't know how many apartments it's going to contain. Do you know? You live next door. 72 apartments. And by current standards, every apartment is going to have at least 4 people in it. That's the standard in L.A. L.A. prices are so high that nobody can afford an apartment on their own anymore. So an apartment that rents for $3,000 a month will have at least 4 people in it, if not more. So we're going to have a huge, massive persons right behind us here. And as we say in English, charity begins at home. So we should welcome them nicely to the neighborhood. And they should at least know that there's a Krishna, Hare Krishna temple behind their apartment building, and they should see it as an option. So that's part of the devotional activity is to invite others to come to the path of devotional service. But how do we know what we know? Only by the mercy of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada went to such great lengths to bring us this knowledge. And he himself was noted by his spiritual master as being a very sincere and serious listener. So that's the beginning of spiritual life. Prabhupada tells the story of once there was a parikrama and Vrindavan and his guru was there and there was a choice. That you can either go out on parikrama or stay in here, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, speak. So for him, there was a no-brainer. His guru is going to speak, he's going to stay. But so many of the other disciples, including many sannyasis, they went out on parikrama. So his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, noted that he was very serious and sincere listener. Prabhupada said he was speaking on such a high level, I didn't understand a lot of what he was saying, but I would love to hear anyway. So this is the first requirement to become a disciple. You should love to hear from the spiritual master. Nowadays, hearing from the spiritual master, you don't even have to be in his personal presence. Srila Prabhupada has left this planet since 1977, November. But recorded lectures are there, his books are there, which were actually recorded speech also. We know Prabhupada had a dictaphone, he would speak, it was recorded and transcribed and then made into books. So when you read Prabhupada's books, you're hearing Srila Prabhupada speak. And of course, there are so many thousands of recorded lectures also. And morning conversations and morning walks and so many, so we can hear constantly from this. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. It's not like previously, as was explained by Arjuna Gopa, that to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you had to have a handwritten copy. And it took a qualified person to make that copy. And so there were very few copies of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam back 500 years ago, when Srinivasa Acharya was trying to learn Srimad Bhagavatam. There were very few copies available. Now we have so many copies available. At a moment's notice, I can order thousands of copies depending on how the distribution is going. We have our meetings regularly at the BBT to decide how many of which books to print and how the distribution is going. So that is dependent on how all of us, myself included, are distributing these books. The more you distribute them, the more we are encouraged to print them. We have a warehouse of finite size in Santa Fe Springs. That's where the BBT warehouse is located. It has a finite size, and we can't keep unlimited quantities of every title. So we have to practice what's called nowadays just-in-time warehousing. In other words, we order the replacements so that they arrive just when the previous batch runs out. We can't afford too much overlap. We just don't have the space. So we become encouraged to order on a regular basis when the devotees are distributing on a regular basis. And so it's so encouraging for us to hear the book distribution scores here in New York and around the U.S., Canada, which is our main responsibility. North America BBT means basically U.S., Canada, and of course also Spanish books we do. So please go on distributing, and that distribution is so enlivening to the person who's distributing, to the person who's receiving, and to those of us who are observing. Last night we were on Harinam in Santa Monica, and we're standing along the promenade, and I turned around and noticed that Bhaktin Melanie is your name. Bhaktin Melanie was like spitting and jumping, and I was wondering, what's going on? I mean, she's normally enthusiastic anyway. And then I was just thinking like that, and then Sri Madhava Mahotsav came up to me and said, somebody gave Bhaktin Melanie $20 donation for a book. So then I realized why she was dancing like that. So it's very enlivening to go out, and it's of course not everybody takes, but we know that. And Prabhupada said that. Don't be surprised. You know, you're preaching to cats and dogs. He said, look, frankly, you're preaching to cats and dogs, because anybody who's got a human form but who's not taken to the process of spiritual awakening is living a life of cats and dogs. Eating, sleeping, mating, and depending. That's it. And how many ways can you do that? You know, you just can't. So they become, as Arjuna Gopa said, not just within Krishna consciousness, but out there, everybody's bored. They're totally bored out of their skull. And therefore, they become enlivened when they see the Harinam party. I left a little early so I could come home and prepare for my class today. But then I saw pictures that were posted online. The devotees were invited into a store. The owners of the store invited the devotees to come in, and the devotees were chanting and dancing in the store. Right? What was the name of the store? Cool Kicks. Cool Kicks, yeah. The owners invited the Harinam party to come in and chant. So that's very fortunate for them. I'm conjecturing that it's mainly because they're bored, and this is very exciting just to have all these people, but they're getting Agyata Sukriti just by having the devotees come in the store and chant Hare Krishna. And this is indicated also in this verse, one of the verses that that Prabhupada has in the purport today from the 11th canto, glorifying Lord Chaitanya, or indicating Lord Chaitanya as a Mahapurusha. Maya Margam Dahita Ipsita Anvadavan. The living entities in conditioned life are like animals who run out in the desert after a mirage. Maya Amrgam. We're chasing after, we're not just being overwhelmed by Maya because she's mean or something. We chase after Maya. We chase after the illusory energy. Even those of us who have heard and have some partial understanding of what's going on. The spiritual world is there. This is a material world. Within the material world, Krishna's material energy personified as Maya. Her job is to attract us by dangling the same stuff. You know, we have in English a saying, fool me once, shame. You fool me twice, shame on me. Maya's fooling us for millions of times. The same stuff she's offering. Wealth and sense gratification. Chase after this. And we still chase. Willingly chase. So this is, but Lord Chaitanya comes, and this is why he's being glorified. Mayamrigam dayata ipsada anvadavat. He chases after this foolish, unfortunate living entities, especially in Kali Yuga, who are chasing after Maya. This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He chases after us. Please chant Hare Krishna. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up. Chant Hare Krishna. Take Krishna Prasadam. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please do these things and you will go back to Godhead. He chases after us. So as representatives of Lord Chaitanya, and this movement means coming down from Lord Chaitanya, it's mentioned in the beginning of the purport that spiritual knowledge comes down by the Avaroha Panta. Panta means path. And Avaroha Panta means trying to figure it out yourself or approaching and speculating this way, that way. But the Avaroha Panta means, Prabhupada says in today's verse, in today's purport, the disciplic succession, accepting knowledge through the disciplic succession, literally means the descending path of knowledge. And basically, that's how we start out learning anyway. We don't figure out as children. We ask, Mommy, what is this? Oh, it's a watch. How does it work? And Mommy tells to the best of her ability. Daddy, what is that? It's a car. How does it work? And Daddy tells to the, like that. Coming down. You don't figure, but then as we get a little bit educated, we figure, just give me the basics and I'll figure it out. Why do we have that mentality? Because we want the credit. We want the credit that you figured out how to make this or how to do that. Ah, you're so smart. You're an inventor. You're an entrepreneur. No, but that's okay for the material path. It's not even really, because Prabhupada pointed out many times that if you really want to learn even the material sciences, you have to apprentice yourself to somebody who knows, as it was recently stated in a purport. You can't learn the medical science just by getting on Amazon and ordering every medical book out there. You can't. Nobody's going to accept you as a doctor just because you've read all the medical literature. You have to go to a medical college and be trained personally by a doctor, somebody who's already experienced in the field. So in any medical or any material science, you need a personal guide. And even in ordinary activities in the past, they used to have the apprentice system. If you wanted to learn how to be a goldsmith, then you apprentice yourself to a goldsmith, and he taught you gradually. And usually the first thing they do is test you to see if you're really sincere and if you're going to be a good listener. So when you became an apprentice, usually the first thing they would do is sweep the shop. Take up a broom, sweep the shop. Put this away. Put that away. And then when they see that you're obedient and eager, then they start to teach you, okay, this is what you do. Even today that still happens. You become an apprentice mechanic, and the first thing they tell you, sweep the shop. Put this away, put that away. If you're puffed up and you don't want to sweep, then get out of here. You're not going to learn. You're not going to hear properly. So on the spiritual path, it's like that. We become tested. The spiritual master says, come to the temple, sweep the temple, keep the temple clean, go out and chant in the street, do this. And if you agree to do all of that, then the spiritual knowledge is accessible. As Prabhupada said, it's not just by hearing. It's by pleasing the spiritual master. When the spiritual master is pleased by the attitude of the disciple, then the knowledge becomes manifest. Because as living entities, we are by nature pure. We are by nature sat, chit, ananda. And so it's just an uncovering process. It's not that you're actually learning anything. It has to be, the knowledge is already there within the heart. And the love for Krishna is already there within the heart. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabanoi. Shravanade Shuddha Chitta Koraya Udoi. By hearing, and not just hearing, but by pleasing the spiritual master, then all of that knowledge becomes uncovered. Becomes uncovered and becomes manifest, and resident. Not like the material knowledge where you think you know it, you think you know it, and then tomorrow the test comes and you go blank. You can't remember anything. Spiritual knowledge becomes manifest and resident in the heart of the disciple who pleases his spiritual master. So this is our business. We have to learn how to please the spiritual master. And Prabhupada made it very easy. It's not that the spiritual master is some ogre who you have to, you know, jump over the moon to please. No. Prabhupada said, just follow this path, reawaken your love for Krishna, and I'm happy. That famous conversation that was referenced recently also. Narantara Prabhu asked Prabhupada in Atlanta, what pleases you the most? When you learn to love Krishna, that pleases me. He didn't say when you bring me, you know, so many lakhs of rupees or so many millions of dollars or when you do this. No, reawaken your love for Krishna and the spiritual master is satisfied. So that means we have to want to reawaken our love for Krishna. We have to want to, that's what we should want. That's why we approach a spiritual master in the first place. That should be the motivation. How to reawaken my love for Krishna so I'm qualified to go back to the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. Otherwise, we remain in this killing field. The material world is nothing but a killing field. You take birth, you flop around for a little bit, and then you die. And as I've said in a previous class, to kill somebody is not a big credit because they're going to die anyway. You see, we have in the news now, the leader of the United States is so happy that he's killed this person from this other country and they're now threatening to kill us. This is going on. But first of all, you should know you can't kill anyone. The soul is going to survive the death experience. So you've just hastened it, maybe. This person, you've killed this person. And this is the demoniac nature. Clearly outlined in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He's my enemy and I've killed him. And my other enemies will be killed. Krishna's saying, this is the demoniac mentality. You see friends and enemies, and then you want to take care of your friends and you want to kill your enemies. So this is how the demoniac person thinks. So much wealth is mine now, and so much it will increase in the future more and more. He's my enemy and I've killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am perfect. Ishwaraham. Ahang bogi. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. This is the mentality of the demons. The bhakta mentality is, please engage me in your service. And that's the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh my Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. That's what we're chanting every day. So when the service opportunity comes, then we shouldn't be upset. That's what we're praying for. We're praying for service. So when the service opportunity comes, then it may come in different ways. You may be doing something that you really like to do, and the spiritual master asks you to do something else that you may not like to do. But you have to do it anyway. That's service attitude. I may think I'm very qualified to do such and such and such, but the spiritual master asks me to do something completely different. I have to do it. That's surrender. That's what surrender means. If it's all just what I like, then where is the process of surrender? Surrender means sometimes I may be asked to do something that pinches, that I don't like to do. But because I'm trying to surrender to Krishna, then I do it. So here in today's verse, we have two very surrendered souls. We have Parikshit Maharaj, who knows he has only 7 days to live. And we have Shukadeva Goswami, who by Krishna's arrangement has come there to give him instruction in the last 7 days of his life. But hearing Bhagavatam is not a 7-day activity. Bhagavat Saptaha. It's not a 7-day activity. It's a life-after-life activity. For the rest of this life, and even after beyond this life, whether we come back here or we go back to the spiritual world, we should be hearing Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what it means. So whether it's the activities that he performed while he was here in the material sphere, he's always here anyway. He's in every atom, in between every atom. Or activities in the spiritual world, it doesn't matter. Hearing those activities, that is Bhagavatam. That is Bhagavatam. So we're very, very fortunate to have come in contact with the person Bhagavata, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada. And by hearing from him, we get the knowledge as it is, no speculation. Many people come in contact with spiritual knowledge, but in a speculative way. I like this part of the Shastra, but I don't like that part of the Shastra. It doesn't work like that. It will have no effect. We have to take it as it is presented by Krishna's representative, Srila Prabhupada, and we have to repeat what we hear for the benefit of others. Very, very simple thing. And that repetition is made easy by having the knowledge in book form. As Prabhupada said to one devotee, what is the use of your 3-minute lecture to somebody? Give them my book. If you can get them to take the book, that's something tangible. Because even if they take it home and put it on a bookshelf, they may not read it right away. They may never read it, but their sons and daughters will read it. We've had so many examples of that. One devotee, when I was living in San Diego, I always asked devotees, how did you come to Krishna? So that's how he came. His mother bought a book on the street and kept it at home while he was a child. And when he grew up, teenager, he became curious. What is that book? And he started reading it and became a devotee. Read it, found the address for the San Diego temple, went to the temple, became a devotee. So another person in San Diego, he was from a pretty well-to-do family. And so when he graduated high school, the parents asked him, what do you want as a graduation present? Oh, I think I want a trip to London. Okay, so they bought him a ticket. So he goes to London and he meets the devotees. Gets a book, meets the devotees, goes to the restaurant. I don't know how it is now, but the restaurant in Soho Street used to be very good. Very nice prasadam there. So he went there, took prasadam, read the book, came back to America, became a devotee. So the parents were shocked. We bought you a ticket for a pleasure trip to London. You come back at Hare Krishna. So this is how Krishna works. We never know how, who is going to come, but the books will always be there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantara Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions, comments? Brigapati Prabhu.
Jaipur, thank you for a very enlivening class. So I'd like to know, what is the difference between this house and the other houses? The suspense is killing me. You didn't...
The Prabhupada said, because in this house we're worshipping Krishna.
Okay.
You didn't. The other houses on Watsik Avenue, they're not. Yeah, we're worshipping Krishna here.
I'd like to add one story to your story, but this is the top of that story about he went to London and went to a restaurant. There's a devotee, I'll mention his name because it's Bhishma Dev. He went to his brother's house. He had some sort of party happening or something like that, and he had to go to the bathroom. So he went to the bathroom had to do a number two. So he looked in his brother's magazine rack, because, you know, people sometimes keep magazine racks in the bathroom like that so they could, while they're sitting, and they could. So he pulled the Science of Self-Realization from the magazine rack and started reading it. And he became inspired, and he became a devotee. And his brother doesn't even know where it came from. So,
amazing.
Away.
That just shows Krishna's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Chasing after us, even when we're in the bathroom. Okay, Acharya Narita.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for such a wonderful lecture. So, we always hear that Sukadeva Goswami gets salvation because of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. But at the same time, he says that he was already a pure devotee, liberated soul, before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So, can you explain that, the connection?
Well, he was a monist. There are different levels of self-realization, different levels of perfection. So he was a monist. In other words, seeing everything equally, but not making any distinction. And that's why he didn't want to come out of his mother's womb. Because in the womb, out the womb, what difference? And also didn't want to be distracted. So he was a monist. What's the word? There's a verse. Anyway. So, but by hearing Bhagavatam from his father, he became attracted to the theistic path, the path of devotional service. And then by reciting what he heard, then he achieved perfection. So yes, you could say he was liberated already. Even in the womb he was liberated because he was not attracted to the material energy. But there's no end to perfection, Prabhupada said. It's just like if you go down to the Pacific right now and dive in and keep swimming. No matter how strong a swimmer you are, you're not going to come to the end of it. So spiritual perfection is like that. There's no end to it. So you can be perfect, more perfect like that. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva and then repeating it to Pariksit Maharaj, she became even more perfect. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Distinctions. Sees everything as being spiritual energy. Doesn't make a distinction that there is a supreme being and that there are parts and parcel beings and that there is a material energy. They want to elevate their consciousness to a point where they just see everything. There are distinctions. For instance, some of those who are supposedly on that platform, they go begging. Right? They go. They don't maintain themselves by any other way but begging. And whatever people put in the bowl, like meat, I eat it, if it, whatever. So we ask them, if they put stool, would you eat it? No, so that means you're making distinctions. So a real monist doesn't make any distinction.
What's it called? A
monist. M-O-N-I-S-T.
Okay.
Monist, yeah. They're seeing everything on. So a real he. So he didn't make any distinctions. That's why he's working on making. Yeah. They see everything as being spiritual and